Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Telenor this beautiful morning, whether you are watching this on the internet, listening on the phone, or being present here at Fornebu. My name is Scott Engebrigtsen, and it's my pleasure to guide you through this morning's presentations. We hope that every one of you have got the material that we have made available. That is our press release, the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation to be given here any minute. Now, in addition to watching this presentation on the internet, we have two other options for you available, as usual. You may watch this transmission live or in recording on your mobile phone, provided that it's capable of showing live video. Secondly, if you are watching this over the internet, you also have the opportunity to send in written questions during the transmission. We cannot promise that all questions will be answered live, but unanswered questions will be dealt with individually after the session here. You'll find instructions on both these options on our website. After the presentations, there will be a general question and answer session, first here from the audience present, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, of course, the possibility also to do individual interviews. Now, let's get down to business and take a look at our first quarter results in more detail. And to present our figures, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Mr. Trond Westlie. And I leave the floor to Mr.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Scott said it was a beautiful morning. That must be related primarily to the forecasted 20 centigrades in the Oslofjord area, which will be the first time this spring. So let's hope that's the case. For the first quarter of 2006, we are happy to state that the growth profile of Telenor throughout 2005 continues into this year. An underlying growth factor of 15% shows that clearly. The growth in this quarter is generally good in all markets, with, of course, varying strengths in relation to penetration reached. We see this as a result of systematic work and and the investments in networks, services, and customers over previous periods. We also see good economic growth in our markets that attract new users and more usage. Once again, we have the Telenor companies managed to maintain or even improve the market positions. Along with increased ARPU in the mature markets, the EBITDA margin at group level rose to 36% this quarter. We are particularly impressed by the performance of Telenor Mobil in Norway, as well as the growth in Kyivstar. From a subscriber growth perspective, we have on 100% basis reached 89.6 million subscribers by adding 6.9 million this quarter alone. We are now seeing the 100 million subscriber landmark already during this year. The relative growth factor is now the strongest in Ukraine, Thailand, Pakistan and Bangladesh. On a consolidated basis, we have now reached 47.8 million subscribers, which is up by 5.6 million subscribers in Q1 alone. In this picture, we will today deliver a technical bid for the new number 3 license in Egypt, together with NCC as local partners. We do see Egypt as a typical Telenor country if we measure it by Telenor competences, such as the low ARPU environment, below 20% penetration, and a growing economy. Moving to shuttle the mobile operations, I should start with Norway. There is all reason to congratulate my colleagues in Telenor Mobile with an impressive first quarter. While keeping the market share stable, they have focused strongly on migrating prepaid customers to postpaid and succeeded in this, thus bringing ARPU upwards, also helped somewhat by seasonal effects. Norway is in a good economic phase for the time being, and our industry benefits from this, as we've seen our competitors are also delivering improvements. This is also the case with service providers in Telenor's network in Norway contributing to the top-line growth. In addition, we have managed to reduce operational expenses, bringing the EBITDA margin to 43% this quarter. In Sweden, we've had a good start after taking over Vodafone's operations in the beginning of January. The number one priority of Johan Lindgren and his team is to establish a clear market position and maintain market share. We have implemented some quick wins by migrating the DDoS customers to the Telenor network, established more targeted and precise usage of sales and acquisition costs, and we are reducing the workforce with effects from mid-second quarter. From middle of April, we have rebranded to Telenor from red to blue, setting new energy into the operation. By this, we have taken important steps towards the target of an EBITDA margin above 15% for 2006. Kyivstar shows impressive growth since Q1 last year. The number of subscribers are doubled, and market leadership is maintained since second half last year. Despite an ARPU decrease in local currency, there is a revenue growth in Kyivstar, which reaches 78%. It has to be said that after a fourth quarter last year of peaking customer acquisitions of 3 million, the number of new subscribers in this quarter is only 1 million. We anticipate that this will pick up again in second quarter this year. The EBITDA margin of 62% is coming from both a lower level of market activities this quarter as well as from an improved gross margin. We do consider, though, that this level to be a little bit on the high side going forward. Bangladesh is another growth market. Penetration is now estimated to 7%. And Grameen in turn added 885,000 new subscribers, maintaining the market share at 62%. The high reported EBITDA margin of 69% is due to the fact that the handset taxation issue now is resolved and has resolved into a revenue share model of 4.5%, bringing the total revenue share in Bangladesh to 5.5%. As a consequence, we are able to add back previous accruals from last year. The underlying EBITDA margin is therefore 55%. Telenor experienced quite some turbulence in Pakistan this quarter. The Khartoum incident left us as a third-party victim together with other international investors. The physical damages were limited. However, some of our distribution outlets were significantly hampered, leading to a drop in net sales for 3 to 4 weeks in February. In March, we seem to be back on track, being able to increase the market share for the quarter to 9.1% by adding 659,000 new subscribers in the quarter. The drop in usage in this period was less significant. ARPU has increased to $4.7 despite the events. We are now very satisfied with the present improvements that we are carrying out in network both from the perspective of coverage as well as from quality. DTAC in Thailand has been through a first quarter with the strongest customer uptake in the history of the company, building the market share from 28 to 30%. This strong growth has raised sales and acquisition costs, as well as reduced ARPU. But in this phase in which DTAC is being well received in the market, we have put priority to the market position. With this growth profile, DTAC reached the 10 million subscriber milestone in April this year. Moving to fixed Norway, we see the same market trends continuing from previous quarters. Fixed to mobile and growth in broadband connections. From a technical coverage of approximately 90% of all households in Norway, we now have reached almost 50% penetration for broadband connections in this country. Telenor has a 58% market share of DSL. We are now also able to grow our customer base of voice over IP customers more satisfactorily than in previous quarters. And in Scandinavia, we have a market leader position when accumulating the numbers of customers in Norway, Sweden and Denmark. Even though we see stable revenues in this quarter, we believe that half-year comparisons will give a better picture of the underlying development for the fixed activities in Norway. In this quarter, we report a 33% EBITDA margin, which is in line with the target for the year. We maintain the cost reduction ambitions of 1.5 billion in cost savings in 2007 compared to the cost base in 2004. Before handing over to our CFO, Trond Westby, I would briefly mention that all of the mobile companies, Digi, Panon, and Sonofone, are reporting figures well in line with previous quarters, both market-wise and financially. Also in Telenor Broadcast, we have a stable development with margins improved, primarily because of lower customer acquisition costs this quarter. And with this, Trond, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everyone. It's very nice to see many of you attending, as well as many on the phone. It's very good for us because it's a very good quarter. We do see that it's growth in revenue and EBITDA in all segments that is driving this quarter positively. We see that it's a very good top-line growth, but it's also generally low market spending that is that giving us this margin, this good margin in this quarter. In addition to that, we see that the spending or the sale of the Inmarsat shares giving us the high profit of 1.8 billion that gives us the result, the pre-tax result of almost 6 billion Norwegian kroners. Going to the details, we see that on the top line revenue having a growth of 43% or 6.6 billion Norwegian kroners. We also see that the development of 2.8 billion from quarter on quarter on EBITDA that gives us the almost 7.9 billion Norwegian kroners. It's a margin of 36.1% from 33.4% last year. Looking at the profit before tax for almost 5.9 billion, it's driven by the sale of Inmarsat shares of 1.8 billion and also the earnings of associates of 300 million. that gives us a net income after tax of 3.7. The tax rate implied this year is calculated to 27%. The underlying tax rate is still around the 30% level, but as a result of the sale of the Inmarsat, the annual tax rate is down, it's adjusted downward to 27%. All in all, that gives us for the quarter an earnings per share of 2 kilowatt and 18 euro. If we look at the development on the revenue side, we see that it's approximately 50-50 on existing businesses and acquired businesses driving the revenue development. You see that the Mobile Sweden is driven by the acquisition of Vodafone Sweden, as well as DTAC with approximately 3.2 billion altogether. We also see that it's a very good growth in subscriber growth in Keystar and Digi, and also the increased subscriber base in Mobile Norway that is driving it all together and gives us the 21,900,000,000 in revenue for this quarter. Looking at the EBITDA development, as you see, all segments here are positively driving this. On the acquisition growth, it's not evenly divided here. The acquired growth is only 33%, 38% of the growth here. So the existing enterprises is actually driving the development higher than the acquired ones. From the acquired ones, you see the Mobile Sweden that is taking 200 million of the growth and the DTAC a bit more than 700. And Mobile Norway has a very good growth relating to both the subscriber growth as well as the reduced SAC and improved OPEX in the quarter. Keystar and Digi, it's really the revenue and the margin growth, but it's also all on market spending during the quarter that gives us these very good quarterly figures. On Grameenphone, it's both the revenue growth and the reversal of the GRLF of 135 million that is giving us this good number of the first quarter in 2006. If you look at the development of the margin improvements, we see that it is slightly upward trend year over year. And we see that the main basis of that is the increased weight of the high margin mobile operations. It is also the increased margin in mobile in Norway. And as a special item here in the first quarter of 2006, it's the reversal of the provisions in Grameenphone of the 135 million. Taking that into effect, the margin of in first quarter of 2006 is approximately 35.7%. We also see that a part of these, at least the first quarter, is a bit low. It's both the supply growth, but it's also a bit low on the cost side relative to market spending, and we see that that's going to affect our guidance going forward. From the CapEx side, we see that the CapEx is still driven by our business success in the growing market. We do see that the CapEx to sale ratios in the first quarter is a bit lower than expected, 17%, comprising of or having the 3.7 billion in spending. But we also see that it's going to be a significant CapEx increase both in Keystar and Pakistan together with DTAC and DG going forward. So we see that the effect is going to be very back-end loaded, the same as it was last year. I just remind you that in the fourth quarter of 2005, we did have a one-off lease effect of 1 billion. So the number in Q4 of 5 of 6.4 was on an underlying basis 5.4. Going to the net debt development, we started the year on almost 31 billion in net debt. We have done acquisition for approximately 8.7 billion, comprised of the Vodafone Sweden, GoCalNet, and some acquisitions in EDB Business Partner. The capex paid during the quarter is 4.1, a bit higher than what's accounted for as capex spending in the results. Then we have the taxes, net interest, and accruals, and then the adjustment for the earnings in the quarter. And then we have some sale of assets, specifically the Inmarsat shares of 1.8. But you also have some other transactions in Thailand by selling the Ucom shares back to the previous owners, as well as some sale in our own captive recorded in this 2.7 number, leaving us at the net debt for at the end of the first quarter of 2006 of 35 billion Norwegian kroners. Going to the outlook statement for the full year of 2006, based upon the strong results for the first quarter of 2006, the outlook for the full year has been evaluated and revised compared to the fourth quarter report. The strong growth in mobile subscription during 2005 gives us a solid foundation and a further growth in revenues. We now expect the growth in reported revenues to be around 30%. The continued growth in the EBITDA is expected, and in particular driven by the international mobile operation. Telenor will also continue to work on cost efficiency initiatives. Telenor expects an EBITDA margin before other income and expenses for 2006 of above 34%. As a result of the international mobile operations success, we see that the high capital expenditure is expected to continue. The capital expenditure as proportion of revenue is still expected to be above 20%. And that leaves the presentation for the quarter.
Thank you, Trond. We're now ready to take your questions, so I invite Mr. Baksaas back to the podium. And before you ask your questions, please wait for a microphone to be handed over to you, and also be so kind to introduce yourself. Question there, yes.
Hi, James from Reuters. There's been lots of speculation about Sweden's Millicom, and one of the names mentioned has been Telenor. I just wondered if you could throw some light on that, please.
Well, the comment we have on that is that we know that it's a process going on, and that's our comment.
Other questions from the audience? Yes, please, back there.
I'll use that as fund finance. You delivered margins far above anyone's expectations. Very, very good. But partly due to the fact of the lower cost in sales and marketing, general subscriber acquisition costs, if I understand you correctly. Is that something you would describe as a sort of level you are comfortable with going forward, the level of selling and marketing, or is this a special quarter in any way in that regard?
Yeah, I heard. Okay, please.
From an operating perspective, if you're thinking primarily in, if your question is directly primarily towards the Norwegian market as such, or sort of the general, in Norway, I think the competition is still at a very high level between the operators. But the whole industry, in a way, benefits from the high usage pattern that the Norwegian market offers for the time being. And from there, the operators and the competitors sort of establish the competitive strength. We are focusing at maintaining the talent of market share and will at any point in time sort of evaluate what kind of resources we're putting into the formula, both to defend and develop our position. In general, in other markets, when there are phases in the market growth where certain new segments come into becoming mobile customers, then it's our learning that it's absolutely necessary for us to use the resources that we feel is at the right level in order to capture market share. This is why we are able to maintain or even improve market share around an operation. In all our operations, because we have basically focused so very strongly at this feature, and that may take the cost and the sales and acquisition cost up and down also in the quarters ahead of us.
Other questions from the others? If there are no further questions here, we'll take we call from a call conference host. If there's questions from the participants on the phone, please.
Okay, the next question is from Anna Klippenbo, and the company is from Capital City.
Hello, do you hear me? Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Anna Kupriano from Renaissance Capital. I have two questions on the Ukrainian business. Just could you please explain us the underlying reasons for the growing EBITDA margin in the country, which reached almost 62% in the first quarter of 2006? Second, could you please give us your outlook for the Ukrainian business, including both the summer pool EBITDA margin expectations? And one more question, if I may. Could you please provide us any update on your negotiations with Alpha in relation to the Kista acquisition? Thank you.
The underlying your first part of the question was from where does the underlying sort of improvement in Kyivstar comes from? It comes from, as I said during my presentation, an improvement in the gross margin compared to first quarter last year of as much as 4%. And this has to do with the development in the interconnect rates as well as the size of the company, in addition to how the usage pattern around the network communities is in that market for the time being. As for the expectations going forward here, we have for previous periods seen that we have had a little bit of a challenge sort of trying to foresee exactly what's going on in such a competitive market and in such a strong growth environment that as we've had. And I think that is a comment that has to be there also for 2006, because also in this year we foresee that it will be a strong customer uptake, and in that, in such a market environment, it is difficult to be very precise on how usage are developing. But in this quarter in particular, we didn't get the same effects as we saw 1 year ago. In this quarter, average minutes per user increased, even though ARPU decreased per customer. But on a customer base, which is double the size what it was last year, this doesn't become that visible in the reported figures. As for the negotiations with Alpha around the possible acquisition of Kyivstar to Vimpocom, I think what's been said recently last week is probably the message also today, namely the fact that there is progress in those talks, but there are also important milestones that or elements in those talks that have to be resolved on a bilateral basis. And our viewpoints, our point of view in this sense, has been very firm that such a possible acquisition is linked to a firmly described separation agreement, as well as that the application with the anti-monopoly authorities in Russia is being granted.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Bluestone in the company SVC, please.
Hi there, James Bluestone from HSBC. I've got a few quick questions. First of all, I remember last year in the Q105 report, you said that particularly the domestic mobile business was affected by an unusually low number of working days, and obviously that would have affected the year-on-year comparisons in this quarter. Now, I was just wondering, could you quantify in the domestic mobile and the domestic fixed line business, what is the impact of the timing of Easter? And then also just had two other very quick questions. Could you say how much of the 1.5 billion NOX worth of cost savings have been achieved so far? And then finally, how come the substantial difference between CapEx paid and the CapEx and the results, CapEx paid of 4.1 billion and the CapEx and the results of 3.7? Thanks.
As for the seasonal effects because of Easter, I think that when Easter, I think it's going to be said in the following way. When Easter in Norway moves from first quarter to second quarter, it is sort of a positive effect on the volumes done in the first quarter of around 30 million Norwegian crowns. Your second element was?
Of the first question or the second question?
That was the cost savings, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. How much of the 1.5 billion worth of cost savings has been achieved so far?
Well, as we stated during fourth quarter reporting, we had certain difficulties in the fixed line operations on service quality, both when it came to increased speed, which we carried through in the mid of fourth quarter last year, as well as on the voice over IP service from Telenor. And we had to spend some extra resources stabilizing those two features. And we think that we believe that we managed to do so into this quarter. So from a in relative terms, from the targeted one of 1.5 billion, I think that roughly we could say that one third of it is roughly captured by this point of time. And Trond, will you answer the question related to CapEx?
The difference on the CapEx side is approximately 500 million, and it really relates to the timing on when numbers are put into the CapEx numbers and when they are paid relative to the contract with the entrepreneurs on the turnkey projects. So it's basically just a timing difference from when you actually put it in to on the asset side and when you actually pay the contract during the course of the way. And as a matter of having some major, specifically in Pakistan, rollout plans, there is a timing difference between the payment and the actual when you book it as a CapEx in your balance sheet.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Next is Juan Jimenez in the company Morgan Stanley, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just a couple of questions on the local businesses. The first one is on the revenue growth in mobile, 9% again. You had more or less the same rate in the fourth quarter. I was wondering what are you expecting for the full year, taking into account the migration of some customers out of your network into Telia's network. And I was wondering if you can give us an update on the progress of Telia on that aspect. That would be good. And secondly, as well, just to talk a bit more about the cost savings program. If I see your total OPEX 1 year ago in the fixed line business is pretty much constant versus the reported OPEX this quarter. However, you just said that you have achieved a third of the cost savings. As I understand it, the net operating savings, in other words, the net OPEX, will fall by $1.5 billion by 2007, and I was wondering if my understanding is correct on that front. Thank you.
As to the first part of your question, the 9% growth, yes, it's true that this growth factor is a very strong one. Even though there is a little bit of a seasonal effect in it because of the Easter. Then we are in the midst of migrating the customers that we previously had on Telenor network for Chess and Sense, which now will be migrated to Netcom. That migration is going on, which will lead to the fact that the wholesale revenues will probably be lower towards the end of the year, referring back to the growth element of 9%. So we're a little bit careful on sort of making the 9% figure sort of an annual figure. And the effect of this can be summarized to around everything, all other elements stable, around 300 million on an annual basis. As for your second part, you mentioned Telia. I suspect you then mean Netcom in Norway as to the migration issue. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
There is still migration of fixed line minutes being migrated from fixed line to mobile, and I think we have now reached close to 40% of all original traffic at the mobile phone compared to the fixed phone, and this percentage is constantly increasing. As for your last question about the cost savings, this relates to the fact that we had to put more variable costs into the formula through both fourth quarter and first quarter in order to maintain and build the necessary service quality, both in relation to the increased speed of ADSL as well as on the voice over IP service. And throughout 2005, these savings will become more visible. Sorry, 2006, of course.
Thank you very much.
Next is Mr. Medved in Nordea, please.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. It's Frank Borg from Nordea. I just wonder if you could be a little bit more concrete regarding the ongoing discussions with Alpha and Timo regarding the milestones. They have also filed for some arbitration cases in New York, I understand. And are these connected with the milestones, as you mentioned? And then secondly, regarding Pakistan, which is your view on the market there, since you are doing quite nicely. Has the cost side been lower during this quarter, or what can we expect going forward? And thirdly, regarding Vietnam, have you done anything more activity regarding in preparation for bidding for any potential license in Vietnam? Thank you.
As for the details of the talks between ourselves and Alpha, I think that what's been stated is to the level that we want to deal with it right now. That is what Bill already said. On the other hand, the court cases which have been raised by us under Russian court as well as under arbitration in the United States is going forward as planned. So there is no link between the two processes, basically. In Pakistan, we are now seeing that the ARPU is coming in the right direction. We crossed through $4 per user. We are seeing sort of the $5 per user line, hopefully to be reached within this year. And this is also part of the business plan, where we targeted between $4 and $6 per user as the average level. So In a way, we can say that the expectations and what we put into the business plan is now being carried through quite nicely in Pakistan, being headed by Tore Johnsen and his team with great energy. As for sort of differences between sort of actual carrying out the business plan as well as sort of what's going on for the time being, I will have to refer to the Capital Markets Day in a couple of weeks' time, where we more in detail will show the developments that's actually going on in the Pakistan operation for the time being, as well as other topics for that matter. As for Vietnam, there is no news to report for Vietnam at this point of time. We're present there. There is structural things going on in the industry. We're in cooperation of the possible candidates for international partnerships are being further structured, and we are looking for that opportunity, also trying to build network and knowledge about both process and decision makers.
Okay, if I may follow up regarding the first question regarding Alpha and your discussion, I sort of respect your you're not interested to give any more details, but regarding the timetable of what we can expect going forward, given that you set out some deadlines and that has passed, what kind of timing effect could we expect? Is this process is going slowly or rapid, or what kind of pace is this going on?
I think that the pace, the speed of the talks for the time being is quite satisfactory, quite okay. But of course there might be sort of phases in these talks that takes longer time and shorter time. So to be precise on the timeline here is not possible for the time being.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Hobley in Lehman Brothers, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Andrew Hobley from Lehman Brothers. Wondered if you could give us an update on your thoughts around use of cash returns, shared buybacks. The buyback's been on hold now for quite a few months. That was pending credit agency reviews. Can you give us our thoughts around that? And how do you balance that with potential opportunities for investment in Egypt, for example?
Right now, we're still maintaining the position that the buyback program is on hold. We see that the development on the on potential issues like Egypt, Vietnam, and also we are seeing other places, and we also see the potential outcome of a possible solution in Russia. So right now, we do see that the cash usage relating to the possible use or the potential use of a cash buyback is still on hold.
And in the event of exceptional gains out of Russia or the Ukraine, if you were to make a disposal, I know in the past you've indicated that they could be used to kind of lead to special dividends. Is that still in your mindset?
Well, I would say that if in case that event were to happen, we would look at the issue, but we haven't made any statements relative to what kind of usage we will use or that kind of source.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Ray in UBS, please.
My question has been answered. Thank you very much.
Next question, please.
Mr. Ray? Okay. Next, Mr. O'Neill in Bernstein, please.
From Bernstein, two questions. Firstly, am I right in calculating that your effective tax rate in the quarter, if you exclude the one-time items, is about 38%, that excluding the sale of Inmarsat? So that effective tax rate looks quite high relative to your guidance of about 30% for the full year. And secondly, could you give us an update on Bangladesh? I mean, first of all, just to perhaps go through again the details of the new scheme, the revenue sharing scheme that's in place, if you're happy with the way that these tax discussions have developed or been resolved with the government there, and what you think the impact of the new scheme will be on market growth and penetration, you know, over the next maybe 2 to 3 years?
Coming to the tax question, we still have an underlying tax rate of, on ongoing operations of about 30%. As a result of the Inlissa transaction, that has been adjusted for the year to about 27%. The technical, when we do the quarterly accounts, we actually use the yearly percentage and apply that to each quarter. So we take the yearly percentage and apply it. So in taking the first quarter and deducting the inverse tax, you can apply that to the effective tax rate underlying. So the underlying tax rate for the operation is still estimated to 30%.
As for your second part of your question, the Bangladesh, the handset tax as it was introduced last year was, in our opinion, quite a challenge for the industry, in the sense that longer term it would reduce the penetration build-up. And sort of the revision into a revenue share scheme seen from sort of many competitors, operators' perspective, I think sort of a equal mechanism of a revenue share is an acceptable one, as long as the level can be kept at this level. As you know, the revenue schemes type of model has been used in many markets as a source of taxation, and Thailand is the country with the highest revenue share scheme in the Telenor operations. But that is also supposed to cover the interconnect charges. This is not the case in Bangladesh, where interconnect between your operators is in place. So as for this level, I think this is quite an acceptable one, given the circumstances. And it's also good that the Bangladeshi market sort of settles this and leaves the uncertainty around the issue the way it's done. And sort of short term, since we then were able to add back the accruals, part of the accruals made for this last year, the GRLF shorter term was sort of a rougher taxation scheme than the revenue share as it's now installed. But it's in general, it's always so that if taxation elements for this and that purpose enters the formula, it will probably slow down growth somewhat, at least in the shorter term, before the operators find new formulas to handle such a challenge.
If I can I just come back to the first question on the tax rate, just to clarify my understanding there. So you've applied the 30% annual tax rate to all of the pre-tax profit in the quarter, even though some of that profit will actually have is tax-free from Inmarsat.
What they applied to the quarter is 27%. The Inmarsat effect for the yearly, for the year, is about 3% deduction from 30 to 27, and we applied the 27% to the first quarter results. So we take an estimate of the full year and apply that estimate to the quarter instead of using the actual effect of the non-taxable gain of Inmarsat in the first quarter.
But that means it sort of spreads out the impact of Inmarsat over the four quarters, even though it's actually coming in the first.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Perez in Dresden.
Hi, good morning. Yes, John Pierce speaking from Dresden Credit Research. A couple of things I wanted to ask about. Firstly, on your last results call, you were saying that your debt levels were on the high side. Could you please remind us of what your targets are for leverage or credit ratings or any other way you benchmark yourself against what is the right level of debt relative to the company? Secondly, another question on debt, etc. The levels have, of course, increased significantly over the last year or so. You've made a lot of acquisitions and moved ahead a lot. Presumably a lot of that is in bank debt, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about revisiting the bond market anytime soon. Perhaps you could give us some insight into that, thank you.
Well, relative to our credit rating, we still have the opinion that in long term we would like to see a single A rating. We do see the effects of Telenor becoming more dependent on revenues as well as earnings and cash flow from emerging markets. And those emerging markets are in countries not rated single A. So by elements of development of Telenor going forward, we see that the long-term rating in at one stage, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, has to come under consideration. When it comes to the whether we're going to go into the bond market or not, that really depends on how we see the bond market and when we're going to go into the bond market. But relative to our structure on the debt side, we see that the backstop facilities that we now have in use is not going to be used for a long period of time, and thereby we anticipate that we want to swap that into the bond market.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Nelson in Chivalry.
Thank you, Peter Curtin-Nielsen from Chivalry in London. I'd like to return to the domestic business, please. Firstly, on the Norwegian mobile market, you've talked a bit, Frederick, about the sort of what we've seen in Q1, but obviously the margin improvement does stand out. And I was wondering if you could give us a bit more color on this. You talk about an underlying cost impact, cost reductions, including lower sales and marketing, and I assume there's also some impact of losing the chess business. Is it possible to sort of indicate a bit more of what we should expect going forward, given that this sort of Q1 margin improvement does stand out quite significantly? And second question related to the fixed business, where revenues have been kept stable year over year and quarter over quarter. Your comments on viewing this in a 6 month perspective, are we to take it that you would expect some sort of decline to continue as we move forward through the year? And then my third question would be related to the Danish mobile market and Sonofon. Any comments on the Danish market? You do talk about higher handset subsidies. Have we seen an increase in subsidies in the Danish market, and what has been driving this, if so? Thank you.
Firstly, the domestic mobile. It's quite certain that the fixed to mobile migration is going on. We also see that from the statistics in fixed, of course, that the number of minutes in the fixed world is being reduced. And the convenience of the mobile phone being so obvious to many of us in the society in general, the mobile is there to stay. And we also see that the younger generation, to a certain extent, find themselves covered if they have a pure broadband connection and use their mobile phone for voice purposes. On the margin side, I think we have to recognize here that the migration of the Sense Chess customers to Telia Network is going on this first half year. So we will have to anticipate sort of a drop in revenues from that part in the second half of 2006 at least. On the OPEX side in general, we have been able to reduce operational expenses, leaving sort of the sales and acquisition host out for some seconds here. The remainder of the OPEX, we have been able to reduce that in particular on the IT side, reaching sort of a lower level of OPEX on that side, both for fixed and mobile business for that matter. So it is a part of the cost structure that we have really been addressing over the last years, and we're getting some benefits from that now. But if we look at the margin level as such, I think the 40-plus level is on the high side going forward here, because the competitive pressure in this market will probably also increase going forward, given that also the other players in this market is doing well through the first quarter. So I think to sort of lean to say that the margin level at 43 is a high one going forward. We then move over to fixed, and your sort of second half, or half year type of comments. Yes, since the Easter is moving from Q1 to Q2 for comparative purposes between 205 and 206, I think we have that to take into consideration. And in this quarter in particular, we have some higher wholesale revenues in the fixed line, which it might be sort of a question whether we'll stay at that level throughout the full year. And here there is also some upcoming regulations that will be introduced on the local loop that will basically constitute both a revenue pressure and also a further cost exercise kind of pressure in the fish line value chain. The last part of it is from the home. Yes, there is a higher seasonal acquisition costs in Denmark going on, and what drives it is the transition to 3G.
Thank you, that's very helpful, Frederick. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Duffer in New Street Research, please.
Good morning. A couple of my questions have been answered. Just a final follow-up on Bangladesh, if possible, please. Can you quantify how much of the actual second half 2005 provision has been reversed? And I guess ultimately what I'm trying to understand is, what is the net benefit of moving from the handset tax regime to a 5.5% revenue share regime? Thank you very much.
It's the reversal of 135 million Norwegian kronas.
But is that a full reversal of the provision you took?
That's a full reversal of the provision taken in the period that the new regime is covering.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. And is it possible at all to quantify what the impact of the new regime might be versus the old regime on an annualized basis?
As we said in the presentation, the underlying revenue or the underlying margin in the first quarter is 55%. And if you take that into consideration, you can calculate your way backwards.
Okay, thanks very much.
Next, Mr. Rivay in Citigroup.
Good morning, it's James Rivay from Citigroup. Most of my questions have been answered. I've got two very quick ones. One sort of structural question. You've raised your full year 06 guidance on the back of the emerging markets businesses. Should we essentially view this as growth in future years being brought forward, or do you fundamentally believe that penetration R2s in these markets will be higher than your previous business model suggested? And my final question is just on naked DSL. Can you give us an update on the number of customer internet broadband customers you have who don't have a fixed line subscription? Thank you very much.
Revised guidance,
Tom? Well, I would say that the revised guidance is basically coming out of higher subscription base. But what we see in the mature market is that the RPU is increasing. So the element on the, we do see that the trend of the RPU development relative to the swing of declining until a slightly growing RPU has come in the mature markets. But the elements on when or that's going to happen, or if and when that's going to happen in the emerging market, is going to be difficult. But as of now, the revised forecast for 2006 is based on a high subscription base.
On the naked DSL question, of the 511,000 retail customers on DSL, around 25%. Of those lines are naked DSL customers.
Next question, please.
The next is Mr. Art in Societe Generale, please.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I just have two questions. The first one is on DG. Can you give us an update as to what would be the conclusion if you have to go back to the 49% stake, and what are you doing to keep your 69% stake today? I think the deadline is for October. Can you give us some update on this one? And the second question, can you give us some details on Egypt, especially the partnership, how much you believe the investment would be outside of the bid in Egypt in terms of CapEx, in terms of set up a new operation over there? Thanks.
In Digi, we were, of course, disappointed that Digi was not successful on getting the 3G license earlier this year. And even though we felt that Digi was extremely well qualified compared to the two 1G licenses in order to build 3G capacities in Malaysia. And of course, it raises some question for us how to continue. In the short-term perspective, Digi is doing extremely well in the marketplace using Edge as basically the feature of closing in on the 3G world. But longer term, 3G access is still sort of a needed feature as we see it as of today. On the ownership issue, yes, you're right. Towards the end of the year, there is a limitation. You will know that we have an extension on the present legislation for the present ownership level. And there are discussions with ourselves and Digi and authorities in Malaysia over the issue, even though it's not possible for me to sort of claim the outcome of that, even though we believe that to get a further extension is very possible. On the other hand, we are our primary goal is, of course, to get a permanent permanent admission to have the ownership at the present level. As for Egypt, it's far too early to sort of move into CapEx structures and those kind of details. We have, at this point of time, delivered a technical bid in order to meet the requirements under the coverage and speed of build-up. And as for your questions, those will be questions that we will have to address later in the process, after also seeing whether we will be accepted for the second phase of this auction process.
Can I just follow up on, do you have the timing of that in terms of the Egyptian bid process?
Well, it's being indicated a 3-month period of evaluation of phase one. And after that, there is, as of this stage, not a firm timeline. So I can't be any more specific than that.
Thank you very much.
Next.
Other than that, I do believe that they have expressed interest in clearing this during this year, at least.
Okay, next, Mr. Gibbert in BNP Paribas, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. A question in respect of your rating. In respect of a possible investment in Russia, will you condition any related financing structure to the maintenance of your single A rating? In other words, will you still be committed to your rating category? And would you consult a rating agency ahead of any transaction in this respect? Thank you.
In event that it will become a transaction in Russia and also in Ukraine relative to the magnitude of the size, we have to revisit the rating going forward. As previously stated by Mr. Boxhoff, we do see that the development of Telenor going forward, we might look at the element of going down one notch to BBB rating going forward if, in event, big circumstances were to happen. But we're not going to go there by an accident. We're just going to go there by election. So in that case, that event happens, we will evaluate the issue. And the potential is that we would consider being going one notch down to a BBB plus.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Revit in Citigroup.
Next question, please.
Mr. Malarit.
Oh, thank you. Just follow up on Egypt and taking your your entire global footprint. Now you're entering or aiming to enter Northern Sahara. So how do you look upon the African continent? Isn't that an interesting opportunity for Telenor as well there, given the low penetration rate and grow growth opportunities?
Well, we've got that question over the years, whether Africa is sort of the next continent that we will focus at. As you know, many years ago, we gave it a try for South Africa, and we were not successful. After that, I'm seeing the structure of the African continent with many small states and a very difficult environment to build in. We have basically focused on other countries with higher populations and higher growth rates. In sort of where we have been focusing. The other side of it is also that to add sort of another culture to work in compared to both Eastern and Western Europe, Eastern Europe as well as Asia, will sort of mean another challenge for us, and we feel that would be a strange space with this. So we have not been looking at other areas in Africa. We're looking a little bit differently at Egypt because of the size of the economy and because of the structure of the mobile market with the low penetration and only two licenses in play for the time being.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, time allows us to have...
The last question is from Mr. Khanna in Deutsche Bank.
Hello, good morning. I just had three quick questions, if I may. The first one is on subscriber growth in the Ukraine. You did mention you do expect to see a pickup in Q2. I was wondering what that is driven by. And the second one is on Bangladesh. I've done some rough calculations, but assuming the new tax and revenue share regime has a positive EBITDA impact of, say, X percentage points, how much of that do you expect to actually invest for subscriber growth? And how much do you expect to internalize? And the second and the last question, rather, is on Pakistan EBITDA. Would you expect EBITDA losses to accelerate back towards a more normalized level in the rest of the year as subscriber growth picks up following the slowdown due to the poor February? Thank you very much.
Yeah. What drives the growth in second quarter in Ukraine? There are seasonal effects when you move towards the summer. That's for one. And the lower growth in first quarter has to be viewed on the background that fourth quarter was such a very strong growth quarter where the market basically added more than 6 million new subscribers in 1 month only. And when you have had such a quarter, you are bound to sort of get a more calm quarter the next one. So that's for one. The other side of it is that the number of players in Ukraine trying to get a foothold is also a driver here. And here we have Kyivstar number one, UMC number two, and Life number three. And Beeline has also made themselves visible primarily through marketing exercises just recently. So we have to expect that the Ukrainian market will be competitive, even though the penetration has reached the level it already has. In Bangladesh, how to spend resources coming out of this? I think our number one aim in Bangladesh is to maintain market position. The Bangladeshi market will also be quite crowded when it comes to number of players in 2006. And for us to stay at a 60% market share level is the number one priority throughout 2006. And be specific on what kind of strength we will put into the formula from a financial resource point of view is difficult. But last year, we targeted a minimum of 50% EBITDA margin. And for comparisons, EBITDA margin in 2004
in fourth quarter 2005 would have been 54% under this new regime. And maybe there is a guideline from that figure. In Pakistan, I think we have to refer to the upcoming Capital Markets Day, where we will address Pakistan more in depth. I think answers will be given then, 24th of May, here in Oslo.
Thank you very much. See you then.
Thank you.